The first reading for today is from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus.
Amen. As I mentioned earlier, Transfiguration is that Sunday in between the season of Epiphany and the season of Lent. Some churches can just skip over this. They just will do the seventh Sunday after Epiphany and just make it easy instead of talking about this odd thing called a transfiguration. I don't talk about it too much because there's not a lot that we understand about this either. But what we do know is Jesus did transform into some other appearance than just the normal Jesus. He was transfigured in some way. What we know is his clothes became dazzling white. What else happened? We're not certain. We weren't there, and it's not accounted for in the Gospels in that part, other than the story that we have today, and in Luke. Luke also records the same details. Elijah and Moses appeared. Now, it's not like they had a Polaroid of Elijah and Moses to know who they were when they'd show up on the scene sometime, but obviously, throughout history, there have always been artist renditions, and it was enough that they knew, or the Lord revealed to them in some way, that this was Elijah and Moses. Now, with that, you've got the deliverer Moses, you've got the greatest prophet Elijah, you got Jesus, the Son of God. Now, who wouldn't say, as they did, 'tis good, Lord, to be here. Let's stick around. This is the best place ever. I want to stay right here. And they sought to give a little aid. We'll put up some shelters for us, Lord, and we'll build on this foundation, because there is nothing better than to have these three together right now and to be here. That wasn't God's plan. I mean, there are moments in our lives, there's bound to be moments in your life where you can look back and you can say, this was one of those moments when I would love to be able to have just stayed right there. Freeze a point in time, a point in history, a point in your life where you say, this was one of the best times ever. I would love to stay right there. I think about, even, you know, with the birth of my son, what an incredible, wonderful, let's just freeze that moment. And I think, no, let's not, because the mom didn't have as easy a time going through it as I did, the birth of our son. It was easy on me. I don't know. What's all the problem here? I don't need any medicine. I'm good, you know? But, you know, maybe that we'll freeze after that, you know, with his birth, you know, and celebrate the next day or so. But, yeah, maybe not even then fully. But there are times, there are spots in your life, spots in history where you'd say, this is it. Let's just hold on this particular point. I mean, I know some of you have stopped having birthdays, so that must have been a great birthday you had, and you just decided to stop at that one. We had a lady in my first congregation, sweet, sweet, dear lady. She froze on her 90th birthday. I know a lot of people freeze before that one, but, you know, not getting older, 25 plus, or 30 plus, or 40 plus, but she was 90 plus. Actually, she was 94. But there were pictures on her wall in the nursing home and that of the celebration. She had had a grand blowout on her 90th birthday, and there were pictures reminding her of that. This dear lady, she had what I call a 5-minute reset. That was how long her memory span was. And there are some that I've known, there are some that I visit that have 9-10 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, but hers was only 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, you discuss the exact same things you discussed in the previous 5 minutes. So in a 15-minute visit with her, we would have the same conversation three times, though I'd only give her communion once at the very last one. But she was a sweet, sweet lady, Anna Cooper. She would say, "Did you know that I'm 90 years old?" Every 5 minutes we'd get into that. And I would agree with her and say, "That's just wonderful." She would ask me who I was and what I did, even when I'm wearing a clerical collar that, you know, only for pastors. "So what do you do?" And I'd point at my collar and say, "I'm a pastor." "Oh, from my congregation in Deschler." She thought she was in Nebraska or North Dakota or someplace. I don't know where Deschler is actually anymore, but it was somewhere up north. I said, "No, you're in Texas now. You're down here." And she was in De Leon, Texas. And I'd say, "And I'm from the church up in Cisco. That's where your son goes." And, "Oh," and she'd look at me like I was nuts. Really did. She'd agree with me, kind of like I was agreeing with her. And she just thought I was out of my mind with the answers I'd give her. But she was kind and agreeable, and she would go along with me. 5 minutes, and we start all over again. She froze on a great moment in time, that 90th birthday time frame. She had had more visits from her family then, saw more of her family then, and she wanted to hold on to that, and she did. We've got times like that in our lives we want to hold on to. And then there are times that we know we need to create something to make a change, because if people are holding on to this time, this is not the time we want. We need to make a change because there might be something bad up ahead. There might be some danger up ahead down the path we're going. And if we hold to this course, it could be a disaster. Even though you may not know it, someone else may. They may try and warn you. There was a pastor and a priest in this one small town. The churches, the Catholic church and the church that the pastor was at were right across the street from each other. And they were out one day putting a sign. They were on the edge of town, on the outside edge of town, and they were putting a sign down on the road. They were tacking it down in the ground just at the end of the churches, and it said, "The end is near. Turn yourself around before it's too late." Something you might see outside of a church. A couple of people were driving by really fast in a sports car, and they yelled out as they sped past, "Leave us alone, you religious nuts!" And just a few moments later, you hear tires screeching and a loud crash. And the priest looked at the pastor and he said, "Do you think we should just say on the sign, 'Bridge out'?" You know, sometimes we need someone to warn us that this is not the place that you need to freeze on. Not where you need to be, not where you need to be going. The disciples said, "Let's put up some shelters. Let's stay right here at this particular point in time," because they saw this as great. Jesus didn't go along with that. He came down from there and he said, "It's time for us to go. We have more to do." It's a good foundation, but this is not where we're building. We have other places that we're going to be building. And Jesus is the only one that we needed to be building on too, not Moses and Elijah, though those prophets and the deliverer were great and wonderful. The Old Testament, we thrive and hold on to that as true, but even that gets placed on top of Jesus in the long run, because Jesus was there even before them. I remember a commercial. This is from at least 10 years ago now. Nolan Ryan is in some commercials for this foundation repair company, Olshan Foundation Repair. There was one particular one that they're different now, the ones he's doing, but there was one from 10 years ago or so where Nolan Ryan, in his typical Texas accent, which sounds like he's got a mouthful of marbles, you know, whenever he talks, that's the way Nolan Ryan always talks. He says, "Here in Texas, we know about soul problems." And I'm thinking, soul problems, we know about soul problems. And it took me a few times of watching the commercial to realize he was saying soil problems. Well, that makes more sense with a foundation commercial, doesn't it? You know, in Texas, we got soil problems. Oh, no, soil. Well, we've got both. But I'm thinking, but But soil problems don't have anything to do with this commercial, so what are we talking about? Soil, oh, that makes sense. I get it now, sure. You know, those misheard lyrics and songs that we deal with, we hear something and we, for whatever reason, that's the bug that's in our ear. It's going to always be that for a long time. We keep thinking the wrong words. I did that with the church is one foundation. That's not what it says. It's the church is, possessive, one foundation. For years, I thought that was, and I won't tell you when I stopped and realized that because I'm kind of embarrassed that it took me so long. But the church is one foundation is what I was singing when it's the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, that makes more sense, doesn't it? You know, Jesus is the foundation. Well, Nolan Ryan was saying we have soul problems because we got a foundation problem. And what he was saying really works in the other way too. We in Texas and everywhere else have soul problems because we have a poor foundation perhaps that we're building on too. Our souls are not built on the right place. And we need to have the right foundation underneath us. And that is, as the church is, Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, the Egyptian pyramids are an amazing piece of architectural work. As big as they are, they have not moved in 3,500 years approximately. They have not moved more than 1/2 inch off of center. That's amazing. I mean, we wish we could do that with a house today. We can't. Not more than 1/2 inch off center. And that's because when they built them, they dug down hundreds of feet in the sand until they found solid bedrock and started the building there. So those pyramids actually go down a lot longer down in the ground than what you see above the ground to hold them up. And because they built it on that sure, solid bedrock, those are still standing where they are today, not moving around. That's the way God wants us to be in our foundations in life in all kinds of ways. He wants us to be able to have a sure foundation in our marriage, in our family, with our children. And He wants to be that foundation that all of these things are based on. With our children, when we seek to raise children, we seek to teach them the fundamentals of Christian values and of good morals. Give them that foundation to grow on and hope that will see them through their life. That's what God does with us. He gives us the sure foundation to build upon Himself and then says, this is where I want you to go from here. And now the thing is, He's the one that's actually doing the building. He's using us, but He's doing the building. King David wanted to build a house for God, but God said, no, not going to be you. Sorry, you're not going to get it done. He was going to use his son Solomon instead to build the temple for God. It's not about what you want to do. It's about what God wants to do in God's plan, and God's plan through His servants, through us. He will get it accomplished. 30-plus years ago, I actually studied architecture. Just one class. I mean, I wasn't looking in any way to go into that as a field. My math is too poor for that. So God bless those that can, but I couldn't. So I took this one class, though, because I was interested in structures and buildings and fascinated by many. And we studied about a lot of the great architects. I.M. Pei was one that was fantastic. Matter of fact, there are about 5 buildings in Dallas that were designed by this I.M. Pei, and he's one of the best ever. He's one that designed in China. There's this hotel in this earthquake-prone area. They have multiple earthquakes and tremors every year, but this hotel doesn't have any structural damage whatsoever or show any structural problems because he built this high-rise hotel on a bed of mud, and it floats on this mud so that when the ground shakes and the tremors come, it's not affected because the mud is there and the hotel stays straight. Amazing that someone could do something like this. He's the fellow that designed the Dallas City Hall, the V building where the police are. And you got to wonder, how does that thing stay standing when it's this big at the bottom and this big at the top? And yet, it still stays up there. Louis Kahn, another great architect, he's the one that designed the Kimball. If you go in the Kimball, it's amazing because the building itself is a piece of art. The design of the building, the layout of the building. It's amazing how it was done. Frank Lloyd Wright, one of the greatest architects of all time, he built or designed the I don't know what it's called anymore. It was the Dallas Theater Center out in Dallas. It's got a new name. About 5 years ago, they changed its name to something. But it was the Dallas Theater Center since 1959 up until a few years ago. And amazing.